Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Nick and Nate Show. I am Nick.
I am Nate. I didn't realize we were actually just starting.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. We're doing it live. We're quite literally doing it live.
So, oh, man. Yeah. Hi, guys. Yeah, it's been a few weeks. Some shit's been going on. Like, first it was, like, Mother's Day or something. I don't know. I can't remember now at this point. There's so much going on. We've had Knockout City going for a little bit. Sorry, if you can't see my face, and you're just listening to me, it's like, eh. Knocked Out Radio has been doing okay. Let's put it this way. I love the content, and I love doing it, but that's about it for now. Right now, we're in a holding pattern, I guess is probably the best way you could put it. It's definitely not making as much waves as I thought it was going to. So, yeah, like,
I think it also has to do, like we talked about before, with the numbers of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be the type of game that people are, oh my, hold on. Cat, get on the, gotcha. Cool. Cat and Cleef on the fucking computer. Anyway, it might be one of those things where I just realized how awesome that is. Hi, look at all my stats.
People might want to watch people play it rather than listen to people talk about it. What is going on with my headphones?
Hold on.
Okay,
don't know what's happening there, folks.
I think that has part of it to do with it, but I also think the other part is when we first did Apex Legends, for instance, their first weekend was 10 million people. So, and then this one, its opening weekend was only 2 million. It has gone up to 5 million, but I do believe that it's just a matter of we had a much bigger pool to pull from. So that's number one. But I do think it does have something to do with the game itself and how it is just a lot funner to watch and maybe just not as fun to listen people talk about it, you know? Which kind of sucks, because I'll admit, I loved Apex Legends, and I was really excited to start a podcast about it. But as excited as I was to start a podcast about Apex Legends, I was probably double, if not triple or quadruple, as excited to start a podcast about Knockout City. Because it was just like, wow, this is the next best thing. This is the next esport. This is the next blah, blah. This is blah. There is so much to be. Not only that, but it was a game that I really, really liked and I was really, really good at. Apex, I was really, really liked, but I wasn't really, really good at it. I was just kind of passable. But this was a game that I was so excited for. I was so good at it. And so, like, Apex Legends is a really good example because we had a segment where it's like, hey, let's talk about tips and tricks. But sometimes it felt disingenuous to talk about tips and tricks because
it's like tips that I saw, but it's not necessarily tips that I'm following.
Exactly, because it's like, I try those tips and I don't win. You should try them so that you can win. Like, it felt so disingenuous, whereas now I can be like, hey, Knockout City, this is how you do better as a team. This is how you do better at catching. This is how you, yada, yada, yada. But, it doesn't feel disingenuous for me to be like, hey guys, try this out for size. Because I can try it on my game and win. So, like, my excitement level is all the way to the top, and for it to just kind of do eh when it comes to how many people are listening, how many people are watching us live, how many people are watching or listening to us on the podcast services afterwards, it kind of just like, darn. Like, I'm going to keep at it because I don't easily give up on stuff, but it's just kind of like, all right, come on, you can do this.
Well, it's one of those that I think that Knockout City Radio might see. It's kind of one of those we might play around with a reformat. To maybe, oh, where did that cup come from? That's a...
The things you have to watch live.
That kind of reminds me of a funny story that happened this weekend. If you want to tell, want me to tell it.
Let's do some stories. Story time.
It's story time. Sunday story time. So real quick, Nicholas, have I
quick Nick,
have I told on air the camp you go to? The camp I go to.
Yes. Yes, you have. It was, funnily enough, I think during one of our discussions about sex.
Okay. Okay. So if you don't remember, or if you're just now tuning in, hi, hello. My mother lives in a nudist resort. And that's a fun fact about my life.
My mom.
Here's the thing about me. Here, hold on. Let's get close.
Hey, everybody. Let's learn about Nate's life. How he gets it from his mom.
Hey, everybody. So, one thing about me is I actually kind of like this a little bit better.
Yeah?
I like this a little bit better. A long time ago, in a galaxy far away.
Long time ago.
In a galaxy far away, Naboo was under an attack. I stopped giving a shit about a lot of things. And it's mostly from being like the fat kid in school, like always, like you kind of get the thick skin. It's like, you know what? Fine. It's whatever. But it really got to the point genuinely to a sense when we're talking about mental health, where I think I got to the point where I was like, well, fuck it. I don't care.
Right.
So that's my mentality about a lot of things in general, is if it's not directly affecting me in a harmful way, I don't give a shit. It's not worth my energy to think about.
There you go.
Cat butt.
See.
And so, like, whenever people always ask, they're like, how is it? I'm like, well, first off, it kind of goes back to rule number one in Nate's book, I don't give a shit. The second thing is, I kind of have established a dream kind of, like, situation in my brain, to where it's like, primarily, I only look top up to my mother, but it's like, if she is, like, I can, like, my mind can blur out things. And so it's like... But anyway, so we went there this past weekend, and it was the birthday for the park. The park has been open for 6 years now.
Wait, it was the birthday?
You know what? I'm surprised that there wasn't anything bachelor. There was a water slide. There was a big inflatable.
Woo!
Which, going down naked is definitely an experience. which fun fact, kind of going back into that, whenever me and my wife go down there, yes, we do get nude. So it's kind of a, but honestly, it's one of the things, okay, don't knock it till you try.
Hold on. Has your mother ever gone, oh, well, there's his little penis?
No, because
do
she did
you,
that.
Do you wash it enough? Sorry. What'd you say?
No, I said, no, she did that the most 20 years of my life. But, yeah, it's one of those that don't knock it till you try it. It's
okay.
Very freeing, like so fucking freeing. And honestly, the coolest part about it is the people that you meet, because you're literally
Oh, not right now. Okay.
Not right now. The people that you meet, you're meeting at their rawest form. Like, you're like on a human level. Hey, there's fucking nothing between us. There's not Rich Prada dress. There's not, like, we're butt-ass naked. So that's the usual thing. Well, because it was the birthday, there was a naked cake fight. Cake fight. I keep saying keg. People think when I tell that story, I'm like, oh, you guys are throwing metal kegs? No, we're not throwing metal fucking kegs.
Cake?
A naked cake fight. And so basically what it was a bunch of people made, like, you know, just normal normal like cakes, and they got some cupcakes. And it basically, it was two tables. It was guys versus girls.
Oh,
and if anyone who was trans, there was in the middle. That was kind of what they said. Anyway.
Problematic, but moving on.
They put a bunch of cupcakes on top of there. So it was really just a bunch of, like, it was like cake mounds for us to use as ammo to throw at the other side.
Nice.
And so we're butt-ass naked. We're throwing cake and cake stuff. And the volunteer fire department is also there. They do this every year.
Hold on. Is the volunteer fire department naked as well?
No, they're not naked. And it was like three people. But they hose us down, which...
Oh, yeah, they do.
Fucking everywhere.
Calm down.
So anyway, it's guys versus girls. Mm-hmm. And so my wife's on the other side. And what... It's actually a really... It was a really good weekend, but...
That's the Knockout City I want to play.
What happens is, yeah, that's exactly. Oh my God, Nick! No! Here, I had the best pro shot. This is what I'm talking about. So I see where my wife is. She's like, you know, it's but so I go over here to the right. On my end, it's the right.
Mirror. Did you curve it? Did you curve the cake?
I didn't curve it, but here's what happened. So there was this other woman named Dawn, who, very tiny woman. I rear back. I have this cupcake in my hand. I rear back, and I'm aiming so hard for Chelsea. At the same time, it flies out of my hand. Dawn happens to turn around, and when I tell you Halo sticky grenade, icing fucking made contact, pegged her in the fucking face on her sunglasses, and stuck to her face. Like, it went, and like, fucking dead on pegged her. And I'm like, oh my fucking God, I'm so sorry. And
does that count as a catch? Like, are you out after that?
That's a headshot at that point. But someone else got someone else in the nether regions.
Oh goodness.
And that was not super fun. But yeah, anyway, they sprayed us off. But I pegged this woman in the face with a cupcake, not my penis. perfect time to do that. But it was a really, really fun weekend. And I think that was the point of it, was the cupcake in the face.
Okay.
But where was I going with the rest of that?
I don't know, honestly. You just wanted to talk about naked people and cake, apparently.
I always just talk about naked people. Naked people and cake. But apart from that... Oh, I guess this could be what we've been doing. I don't fucking know. Yeah, I was naked and throwing cake at people. That's what we were doing. Yeah, man, honestly, I derailed that entire thing. And I really don't fucking know why. And welcome to the Nick and Nate Show.
Nick and Naked Show.
Nick and Naked Show. Nick and Naked Nate Show.
Naked Nick and Nate Show.
Nick and Nick and Nate.
That's N3, everybody. Back to N, Nerd to the Third.
Naked Nick and Nate. That's our Patreon show. That's our hot tub stream.
Yep, you gotta get to that $20 to get to the Nick and Nick and Naked.
No,
Nick and Nick and Naked.
Nick and Nate. Now I'm just thinking about the possibility of hot tub streams for us, honestly.
Oh my goodness.
What have you been doing, Nick? Let's go.
Oh, well, maybe I should have gone first because mine's a lot more depressing.
Oh, fuck. Okay. I'll pick it back up. Go ahead.
Okay. So my couple weeks that we've been off has unfortunately not been super awesome. My dad, since May 7th, I believe, he texted us and basically said, "Grandma's in the hospital." My grandma, not his grandma. His grandma's already gone by now. So my grandma is in the hospital. She has fluid around her heart and, you know, they had to drain the fluid in order to get her to go back home. So it's like, okay, yeah. It was a really bad weekend. I think it was the same weekend as, well, we were doing stuff. We're going to have to mute it just a second. Hi. Can you shut the door since you guys are back?
We got a baby.
Thank you. Love you.
Baby. Oh, copyright.
Okay. But anyway, so they had to do that. It was a really bad time for me. I wasn't able to, like, go to the hospital and visit her or anything like that. Then 2 weeks later, he gets back to us and basically says that, you know, hey, I just got off the phone with Dad. And, you know, they're essentially saying that there's nothing that they can do. And they're sending her home with hospice care. And so it's end-of-life hospice care. So I'm just like, oh, shit. Like, for me, this is the first death I've had to handle, I guess. My great-grandma died, but I was, like, super young. Didn't really process and or care. I mean, I'm sorry, obviously. She was obviously a very nice lady. But it was very much like, here's a really, really old person that I maybe saw once or twice around Christmas when she was able to. So this is literally a stranger to me. You know what I mean? So her dying had no bearing on me. But then my grandma, like, we went to her house every Christmas, or Christmas Eve, rather. Like, that was the family tradition, is to go there. And so immediately my head goes to, like, well, what's the last time I even saw them? And it's like, the last time I saw them, I was still working at Boise City Taxi. And I'm sitting there waiting for one of my customers to come down from their house, and I saw the little old lady walking by. And I'm like, I think that was my grandma. She comes back into frame, and I'm like, yeah, that's my grandma. So I get out and say hi. Apparently my granddad has skin cancer, and they had been, you know, getting rid of it or whatever. He's better now from what I can tell. And yeah, just kind of like, oh yeah, well, nice to see you, da 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 da. And then that's it. Like, and so I went down on last Monday. It was last Monday, Memorial Day.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So on Memorial Day, essentially, I went down to visit her, essentially for the last time. So, and it was such a weird experience because, like, the whole reason everybody was there was kind of the elephant in the room, and we just didn't really address it. We didn't talk about, like, oh, hey, you know, go quietly into that night or something like that. I don't, like, we didn't say too much about it other than we were just trying to be there for her. You know what I mean? On the other hand, it was really, really nice experience. I ended up going by myself because I didn't really want my kids to see her in a particular state, you know, and, I got there. She ended up being fine. She ended up being in really, really good spirits. And so maybe I could have taken my kids, but then I was also kind of glad I didn't, because, you know, the imagining having to be like, Zoe, stop doing that. Madeline, get over here. Like, it would have been nice for her to see them, but at the same time, it just would have been a really different experience. So I'm still kind of glad that I didn't take them necessarily. But it was also nice just to catch back up with my dad. He hasn't been able to make it down since the pandemic. I haven't really talked with my aunt either, Kathy, since the beginning of the pandemic. She actually works in a retirement home, so I got to hear some just really sad stories about how, like, there was this one guy, and the only way he could see his wife was through a window, you know, she wasn't there for that long. Yeah. And so Kathy, like, storms into a meeting and basically, like, you get that man in with his damn wife. And they made stuff happen, and he was able to at least spend one more day with her. And it's just like, it's so weird because you might be able to, what's the word I'm looking for? You might be able to relate with this because you live in Texas, but living in Idaho, surrounded by a bunch of, like, red blood, red state Americans, you know, nobody wearing masks and stuff like that. It's just, I see that all around me. And I'm just like, and it just, it genuinely frustrates me. So to talk to my Aunt Kathy, who lives in a retirement, who is literally on, like, the front lines. I didn't know this, but apparently her retirement home was the first retirement home to get hit. And I'm just like, I cannot even imagine how that must have been for her and how emotional that must have been. I mean, her just recounting stories, you could see it in her face and everything. And, you know, and then it's just like, but I live in Idaho. I live in Idaho with a bunch of fucking assholes who just, like, it's, we've talked about this on the show before. It's one thing to be like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's another layer of fuckery to just be like, oh, it doesn't exist. It is made up by Democrats. Yeah. Like, imagine hating a group of people like Democrats so much that they, you honestly, truthfully feel inside yourself that they would make up a sickness to control you. And yet you love your country. You would die for your country. It doesn't make sense. Because like it or not, Democrats are your country. You might not be able to agree with Democrats, but they are your fucking country. And the fact that you can legitimately say that you would die for your country, oh, but not the Democrats, like, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. So anyways, I'm hearing stories from somebody who's literally on the front lines, literally the first people in Idaho to get hit. And it was just like, ugh. But on the other hand, we start talking, you know, about everything, about Trump and about how, like, how everything's been going and everything. And it was just like, I stopped and I was like, this is really nice just talking to people, because especially online, you have to be really careful who you talk to in your social groups, because you're just not quite sure, is this person anti-mask, are they pro-mask, are they anti-COVID, are they pro-COVID? I mean, who's pro-COVID, but you know what I mean, right? So it's just like, but it was just so nice to, like, talk to, like, I hate to say it, but, like, normal people, you know? Because it's like, we still live in Idaho. We still think guns are an inalienable right or whatever. We still think that, you know, you probably shouldn't get an abortion, or if you do, there needs to be specific. Like, we're Idahoans, so it's like we believe that stuff in our genes. But we can still admit that COVID was really fucked up, and it was just, like, it was just such a cathartic thing.
It's one of those, even for a lot of, like, you know, I was really surprised that my dad never got COVID, for example. It was one of those things that he just somehow managed to hit it before it even happened. He missed it before it even happened.
Yeah.
Which is a joke for everyone. If you don't know, my dad died last year. So, oh, wait, hold on a second. He's calling me right now. Hey Dad, how you doing?
God.
I have a story to finish. Whatever. You're done up from there, but it's hard. Oh, and fun fact, that felt weird to say. For people who don't know, speaking about abortions, this is something I did not know. I don't know if it's just in the state of Texas. It might be, I'm not really sure, but if a woman wants to get her tubes tied before she has had a baby, or even after she's had a baby, she has to have the husband's approval. If she is not married, the doctor will literally say, I will not do it.
How fucked up is that?
Right? So if you guys didn't know that, I found that out like a couple months ago. So when we were talking about that, I want to make sure people were aware, but it's the whole thing with the hospice and the hospital care. So let me ask you, is she going home or are they?
Yeah, she went home. So, like, thankfully, that's the one, like, you know, bright side, you know, greener pasture, whatever you want to call it. Like, the fact that she actually just basically gets to go home and hopefully just fall asleep. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's a good thing.
She doesn't have to be in a home.
In a hospital that is still under COVID regulations, so I think she can have, like, one visitor at a time. So she was able to go home. All of her family members essentially came to say hello / goodbye. Like I said, it was the elephant nobody was really talking about. But everybody was able to come and visit her, you know. So it was nice. I'm still kind of like about it right now, because it's just like, it hasn't happened yet. But it's one of those things that, like, eventually the fluid in her chest is going to get so bad that... Hopefully, like I said, she'll just kind of fall asleep and go quietly.
It's and to put, like, on a serious, like, that's how I usually process my feelings with humor and dark humor. But that's something that I actually am. I'm thankful for two things about my dad passing. The first is that there wasn't, I mean, it was kind of he was in poor health before it happened, as far as, like, with his liver, but it wasn't in the sense of, like, oh, he's gonna die soon. Like, they told us, like, if he didn't get help, but he was on the track too. So it's kind of one of those, I'm thankful that it was out of nowhere, because otherwise it's kind of one of those, if I had to sit there and watch it happen, I feel like it would have been worse. Whereas I literally woke up one morning to my grandmother at my door at 6 a.m. saying, hey, your dad passed. Like, well, I mean, she was crying, but like your dad died. And I'm like, I literally wasn't given a choice. Life was like, hey, what's up, buddy? Let me fuck shit up. Like, just one day out of nowhere. the second thing I'm thankful for is, so my dad, he didn't have cirrhosis of the liver. So his, you know, his, a lot of his organs, they weren't in the best shape. Basically, they lived an hour and a half away from me, and he passed away early in the morning. And so we went to Nacogdoches to go, we drove 30 minutes away to go, view the body, 'cause that's where the funeral home had taken him. And we got there, and they said that they tried to call us, but we didn't call, and they were like, hey, we can't. Like, you can't. I'm not telling you that you can't, but I wouldn't. And basically what had happened was, shortly after he passed, all of the toxins and shit that were in his liver and, like, in his, like, basically flooded, like, just released when he passed away. And so he was in, he was, like, basically within six to eight hours, he had already started deteriorating.
Oh God.
And like he was in a state where like his skin was a different color, and it was like, and I have some friends that work like in the ICU, and they're like, you like, I would have hugged that woman, because she saved you a lot. She saved you a lot of hello. So that's the two things I'm thankful for about that situation, is like, I was sad at first, because it's like, oh, are you okay? I never got to basically say goodbye, but at the same time, it's one of those that I think I was saved a lot of heartache visually in that moment. But to kind of take things back up in a more positive light, going back to that more humor page. So I we were at another thing that I did was, we went to this place near us called Texas de Brazil, which is one of those types of restaurants where they basically bring you skewers of meat, and it's like all you.
Sorry.
How did skewers of meat make your fucking giggity meter tingle just now?
Because we're talking about dead people. And then it would go from dead people to skewers of meat.
It was about my dad, but okay, I didn't say anyway. So it's one of those types of restaurants where it's like, you basically pay kind of per person.
Right,
they break it up is you get salad, this full ass bougie fucking salad bar, salmon on the salad bar, like all kinds of shit. And then they come around with different cuts of meat, like lamb and skirt steak, top sirloin, and cooked to different rarities, however much you want. But they just come by and they'll just carve until you don't want it.
What's it called?
Texas de Brazil.
Oh, okay. See, we had something, it had something to do like toucans or Tuscanary,
but they have a cool thing where you have,
but it's the same thing. Yeah, do you have a little thing where you flip it over and to let them know you're not that's the same place, just under,
and
a
so
different name.
We're and so we're, first off, mind you, my wife, I'm sorry, I'm amped, like I'm
your fucking face is not helping right now.
But a little bit of backstory, if you don't know, my wife had the gastric sleeve surgery. So basically what they did is, her stomach is the shape of a banana, like a very skinny banana. She cannot eat a lot.
Banana.
She can eat about 6 ounces of food, pretty much. It's gotten better. But anyway, this is not the type of restaurant you take her to, first off. this was for her mother's fiance's birthday. And it's this nice bougie Jesus Christ. They're just fucking adventurous right now.
Invasion of the pussy.
This is one of those like really fancy fucking places.
Yeah, yeah.
And
for sure.
Obviously so, because the final ticket was $117 with tip.
With how many people?
Me and Chelsea.
What?
That's two people.
Oh, that God. I thought maybe people. You meant like you all.
No.
Oh, my God.
That was two people. That
Jesus
was two
Christ.
Two people. But don't get me wrong. It was good food, and like it was really neat. And here's the problem. It's a 5-star fucking restaurant. But tell me this, Nick. If they come with fucking skewers of meat and it's like, here, tongs, take them off, do you not start eating it like a man? Like, you just carved me meat. I'm going to start eating it. I realized where I was at for a minute, and I went, oh, fuck, hold on. I put it back down. I put, like, fork and knife. I was like, let me eat it like this. But, so, yeah, it was $117. Anyway, we're at dinner, and they were joking about his next birthday. You know, it's like, you know, it's the over-the-hill birthday or something like that. And, like, you know, let's get a tombstone. Like, let's get, like, this or that. And I look over at my wife, and I'm like, hey, should we get Dad a tombstone for his birthday? And she was like, Nate! And I was like, yeah, I'm a fucked up person. And then I was like, his birthday's on the 13th, right? And she goes, maybe his birthday's like in like 4 or 5 days. I'm like, got it. Cool. I was like, don't strike me down, Dad. Don't strike me down, Dad.
Don't smite me.
But yeah, guys, don't eat. Don't pay $117 fucking dollars. By the way, that's what I was smirking at earlier because you had fucking.
There we go. A little better.
We're honestly all over the place on this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
This ain't got a rhyme or reason to it.
Yeah. Speaking of no rhyme or reason, Bo Burnham. Which you would think by his special there is no rhyme or reason, but what's so genius about it is that there is a rhyme or reason to everything that he does. So yeah, let's just transition into that because I can't keep my silence anymore. I've rewatched this. I've watched it 4 times, and then the 5th time I watched it, I just fast-forwarded it to each of the songs or whatever, which is amazing because I actually don't like... I don't normally like comedian musicians or whatever. There's tons of times Kevin would be like, oh, have you heard this one person? I'm like, yeah, what do they do? He's like, oh, he sings funny songs. And I'm just like, I'm good. I'm good. Even like Tenacious D, like I love Tenacious D and I've listened to some of their songs like tons of times or whatever. But at the same time, I wouldn't go like from start to finish on one of their albums. Right.
Yeah,
I would every once in a while, you know, listen to like, you don't always have to fuck her hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do.
A long ass fucking time ago in a town called Kickapoo.
And even the Tenacious D movie, I like that as a musical. Like, it's funny that it's basically a rock comedy musical. Like, I like that. So point being is that in a comedy sense, I don't normally like those little like 1 minute, 2 minute long kind of songs. Like I don't normally like that, but I've rewatched this now 5 fucking times. The 5th time being just for the songs. So it's already like, blah. But what this fucking guy does with lighting, with the angles, with everything, it's so
go
ahead.
How he was able to make a premiere piece of content, which content, it makes me laugh now, just like
content. I made you some content.
Yeah, so just the fact of how he was able to make pretty much a full feature special film with one camera, microphone, and different lighting effects. Like a lot of the things that looked really fucking amazing, like for example, the sexting, like the whole thing with the word, that's literally just someone with a projector. Like yep. It's so fucking simple, but it works. And it shows if you have the right tools and have the right ideas, this is why I think, like DeFranco said it best when he gave his little quickie review on I think the Thursday show, how Bo Burnham is like, he's a generational comedian.
Yeah.
And I think this is a generational product because this literally is what every kid nowadays in particular, most in particular, growing up with like Ninja and stuff like that and Twitch, like if you have the right tools, you know how to use them, and you have the right ideas, you can make it. Like now granted, a lot of people can't replicate his genius.
Right.
But here's what's funny about this conversation, and I'm gonna break open some doors here. I know Bo Burnham.
Like I've personally?
Heard... No. Oh. No. Like I know of Bo Burnham.
Okay.
I have heard, you know, some of his songs. I have never sat down and watched a special of his front to back or watched anything of his in particular unless it was like a clip from a TikTok.
Definitely.
Like
definitely.
I've known of him and I knew that he was kind of more around with Vine and like others. I know he's been around for a while.
Oh, for sure.
But I've never really paid attention to him, I guess is the best way I can put it.
Yeah.
I watched, I only got 35 minutes through. I got after, if you guys have watched it, I've got after the sexting song. And when he was holding the knife against the really beautifully green lit background. Like, that was a fucking YouTube, like, set. Like,
yep.
That part.
Yep.
But are you done? Jesus Christ. Are we having an earthquake? Or are you shaking your ass?
I keep hearing shit like...
Well, one is licking her whatever behind the camera, and the other one was licking his shit over here. Anyway, I sat there and watched the first 35 minutes of this. The first 5 minutes of it, I was like, I can fucking tell the genius of this already.
Yeah.
Like, hey, buddy, get off the laptop.
Yeah.
I was like, I can... It's incredible what he's saying with his words. And for a second, I was like, did he do all of this? And
yes.
When it went edited, written, directed, and it was just like...
Edited, written, all during the quarantine, too. And I think that's one thing I like the most about, like, when you look at this as a whole, it starts with him pretty normal, but as the special goes on, like, you can see he's starting to lose it. You can see he's going to very dark places. And it reflects in both the music and his just overall performance or whatever. And, like, that is such, like, a moment in time. Like, 2020 will forever be, like, a moment in time. And he was able to capture it so beautifully in such a unique way. And I love the little... inner cuts of him like setting stuff up or there's one, like, where he started a song. Sorry, what?
Yeah, it's right there, the part that I ended at, whenever it was right after the knife, whenever he's singing it, and he was like, I took a really loud fucking breath, and then like he goes into the song again,
and he goes into it again, and it shows like how much of a perfectionist he is, because it's like, I didn't hear a breath, but it's like he was so mad at himself, and he's like,
But it's also filled with beautiful cinematography, too.
Right? Exactly. Like, and sometimes it's as simple as things. Like, there's this wall, and he projects it with a certain thing. He does, like, a slow zoom in and a slow zoom out. Oh, my God. There's so much about this that I absolutely love. And when it needs to be, it's profound. When it needs to be, it's fucking, 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 fucking... fucking hilarious. My favorite line in the entire fucking special is, you know, we've had 400 years on the stage, so maybe I should just shut the fuck up. I'm bored. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, the part, one of my favorite parts so far. I mean, the sexting song was fucking phenomenal, and I literally just saw it, so it's one of those I haven't watched it enough to where I was like, oh fuck yeah, that's, I remember
sitting
that's
alone, yeah, running alone, yeah. One the part where he's talking about hand on my phone, yeah.
He talks about, like, I sent her a picture of my face, and it's like it's into my boobs. That's not cool. It's like, so I sent her, and my phone died. But no, like in the special kind of white guy, he's talking about
special kind of white guy.
It's like, hold on, I want to get the cadence of it. If you see men dressed in white cloaks, don't panic.
Call me, I'll tell you a joke. Your house, like, is whole, full of smoke. Don't panic. Call me and I'll tell you a joke.
But that's what's that, and that's again something that I literally, after watching that when we were getting set up for the show, I went to YouTube because I was sitting there thinking, I was like, the left brain, right brain. I was like, I'm almost positive that's Bo Burnham. And are you my, excuse me, camera woman? Are you, am I bothering you? Okay, I guess so. fuck me, right? Anyway, and so I put that on, and then when I went back to YouTube, it was nothing but Bo Burnham videos. And I'm like, I thought I was signed into my YouTube, and I'm like, is this some weird, like, rabbit hole that's making me go down? And I'm like, oh, wait, it's just because I watched a Bo Burnham video. But I started watching, like, other interviews and other joke videos and stuff. I'm like, how the fuck have I not paid attention to Bo Burnham since, like, 2013? Like...
Yeah, I think I've definitely watched his stuff on Netflix. And I've always really liked him,
like,
sure.
That's the thing, is I remember Bo Burnham being... I remember him from Vine, I think. Like, I remember a lot of his stuff, like, his sort of sense of humor fitting well on Vine for my generation, you know, because all of us were, like, in high school. Like, how old is Bo... look up how old Bo Burnham is. Hey, Siri. How old is Bo Burnham?
Bo Burnham is 30 years old.
He's 30.
Okay, you clearly didn't get to the part of the show where he talks about turning 30, and then he does a he does a literal song about him turning 30.
Again, I got to the part after sexting. I was 35 minutes
right after that. Right after that, he gets super depressed, and he just has the clock right in frame, and it's at like 11:58. And he's like, "Yeah, I said I was gonna keep doing this until I turn 30 or something, and I'm still doing this." And that's only like halfway through. Like I said, like he eventually just starts going insane. Until the very end of it. Like, there's this one thing, it's so goddamn profound, especially to somebody who does content. But he's basically talking about how he's worried that he will never be done with the special. But then he also doesn't want to be done with the special, because then I have to go and do regular stuff. Yeah. And it's just like, that thought process right there is just like so profound. It's like, well, if you are done with it, then you have to put it out there. You have to put yourself out there if you're done with it. Otherwise, you could just keep working on it and keep making it better or whatever. And it's like, oh, like that hit me where I live.
It's the what's crazy about Bo Burnham that I again for me is new. It's just because I didn't pay much attention. Is that profound nature, like the fact that you go from. I think here, let me go through. I'm pretty sure it was after White Woman's Instagram, which was phenomenal, let's be fucking honest. No, it was before. Yeah, it was before. God damn it. When he was doing the Sako song.
Sako. Oh god. That is how the world works.
Yeah. And it's just like in the lyrics, like the whole thing of like, you know, FBI killed Martin Luther King. Mm. And it's like, it's one of those, I know a lot of people don't know that because that's something that we didn't learn. Like, no one taught us that.
True, very true.
And it's kind of one of those that's never been focused on. And it's like, you know, just the shit, like... Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to finishing it. I'll definitely finish that over... Jupiter's Legacy.
Oh, poor Jupiter's Legacy. Where were you at?
The song starts.
Oh, here it was. Here it was. There you go.
Like 14. It's like after FaceTime with my mom. It was before that.
Trying to be funny and stuck in a room. There isn't much more to say about it. Can one be funny when stuck in a room?
That's a big fucking breath.
See, I'm
trying to be funny and stuck in a room. There isn't much more to say about it. Can one be funny? Stuck in a room, being in, trying to get something out of it. Try making faces, try telling jokes, making little sounds.
Are we gonna go get copyright from this?
Probably.
Was stuck in his room. There isn't much more to say about it when you're a kid and you're stuck in your room. You'll do any old shit to get out of it. Try making faces, try telling jokes, making little sounds. Well, look who's inside again. Went out to look for a reason to hide again. Well, buddy, you found it. Now come out with your you surrounded.
See what I mean? Like, you could just start, he intersperses like, this little parts where like you could tell he's starting to go fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's he is also, I think, the antithesis of someone who you can see is an absolute genius. Like, he is someone who clear as day
is so gifted and talented that he can literally, he's just literally making statements, and it's entertaining, you know, at the end of the, like, and how he is creatively making this is just, it's phenomenal.
Yeah,
I still haven't seen Eighth Grade, by the way, and I really want to see
it. Oh, God, I literally looked it up right after this, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's right, he directed a fucking movie. I want to see that now. All right. It's not that much further till the one he's turning 30.
One more.
One more! We might have to take this out of the podcast version, because I don't know how interesting this is going to be for the podcast, but... Like, there's definitely part of me that's like, he could just be that good of an actor, but I also feel like he's showing us a part of him, you know?
Yeah.
It's overwhelmingly white. I went to church on Sundays in a suit and a tie, and spent my free time watching Family Guy. I started doing comedy when I was just a sheltered kid. I wrote offensive shit and I said it. Father, please forgive me, for I did not realize what I did, or that I'd live to regret it. Times are changing and I'm getting old. Are you gonna hold me accountable? My bed is empty and I'm getting cold. Isn't anybody gonna hold me accountable? I'm problematic. He's a problem. When I was 17 on Halloween, I dressed up as Aladdin. He's a problem. I did not darken my skin, but still it feels weird in hindsight. Show you how I'm growing as a person, but first I feel I must address the lyrics.
It's also crazy how he's able to make every childhood,
and that's not okay. My actions are my own, I won't explain them away. I've done a lot of self-reflecting since I started singing this song. I was totally wrong when I said it. Father, please forgive me, for I did not realize what I did, or that I'd live to regret it. Times are changing and I'm getting old. Are you gonna hold me accountable? My bed is empty and I'm getting cold. Isn't anybody gonna hold me accountable? Oh, I'm problematic. He's a problem. I just remembered that Aladdin costume's in my mother's attic. He's a problem. I'm gonna go home and burn it.
Or not burn it. Is burning it bad? What should I do with it?
I've been totally awful. My closet is chock full of stuff that is vaguely shitty. All of it was perfectly lawful, just not very thoughtful at all, and just really shitty. And I've been totally awful. My closet is chock full of stuff that is vaguely shitty. All of it was perfectly lawful, just not very thoughtful at all, and just really, and I'm really fucking sorry.
Everything has a meaning. Everything has, like, subtext, whatever. You know, obviously that was about, like, cancel culture, and so he was, like, he was coming free about stuff that he doesn't even need to come free about, and then the whole second verse was talking about the first verse, and he's not even sure that he means it, and, like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Do you want to keep going, or?
No, I think, yeah. Twitch would be like, nah, brah, you're good.
Nah.
You're good.
Well, hold on. Let's do... Because I love the way he does. So, see, he's all depressed. He's like, I'm going to turn 30, and this fucking sucks. Let's just go right here. See, I love that. The little moments like the little moments like that is what makes it so genius, because like he could have planned it out better where like by the time he got done with his speech it was midnight, but instead he just kind of let it linger. And that also speaks to like depression and how it really feels to be like it when you're in depression, how it's just like, okay, there goes another minute. Like there goes my life. But anyways, I just want you to hear this, and then we'll be done. Because I love the what he does with the lights and everything.
I used to run for miles. I used to ride my bike. I used to wake up with a smile and go to bed at night with a dream. But now I'm turning 30. No. I used to be the young one. Got used to meeting people who weren't used to meeting someone who was born in 1990. No way. Yeah, I was born in 1990. Now I'm turning 30. God damn it. I'm turning 30. When he was 27, my granddad fought in
the fucking this shit
when
with the
was 27,
it's so fun, so simple and funny, but it's effective.
Yeah.
How am I 30? I used to make fun of the boomers. In retrospect, a bit too much. Now all these fucking zoomers are telling me that I'm out of touch. Oh yeah? Well, your fucking phones are poisoning your minds, okay? So when you develop a dissociative mental disorder in your late 20s, don't come crawling back to me. I'm turning 30. And now my stupid friends are having stupid children. 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 And now my stupid friends are having stupid children. My stupid friends are having stupid children. My stupid friends are having stupid children. Stupid, fucking, ugly, boring children. It's 2020 and I'm 30. I'll do another 10, 20, 30. I'll be 40 and kill myself then.
Okay. too real.
I gotta be honest with you, I'm gonna get super fucking ridiculously dumb high tonight and finish this. Like, I'm gonna rewatch that scene and just be like,
whoa. I love the stupid friends are having stupid children. And he changes. And then when it goes into harmony where there's multiple voices, there's multiple shadows in the background.
Yeah. And how it's he was like, controlling it with his feet. Yeah.
Exactly. My stupid friends are having stupid children, and now my stupid... And it's so funny. He doesn't just have a good comedic timing and everything. He also just knows music so fucking much that he can do something like the song we were listening to before where he's stuck in his room and all he was doing is... And then the way he... changes his voice, the way he just, you know, so he has such a profound grasp on music that, and then let's talk real fast. I won't make you watch it. Let's talk real fast about my personal favorite in the entire thing, which is that funny feeling. Hey, there it is again, that funny feeling. That funny feeling. And, like, the whole thing is full of little nuggets of just absolute comedy, but then, the whole thing is just a commentary on 2020, where he's talking about how Bugle takes on race, and then it's like, reading Pornhub's terms of service.
you froze there, buddy.
No, I didn't. Didn't fucking freeze. Maybe it's you. You're frozen! Let it go. Can you hear me now?
I don't want to build a snowman.
You do too.
Okay, bye.
Anyways, what was the last thing you heard then, huh?
It was when you were doing this.
Anyways, it's just a commentary on 2020 in general.
Yeah.
And all the little things. And it's funny, it reminds me of "We Didn't Start the Fire." Oh, it's all been burning since the world's been turning. It's kind of a generational
long.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like all the things just have to do with like 2020 and what was going on. You know, at one point he talks about Civil War at one point, and it's just like, oh my God. And then he's just so beautifully sung. I think one of the reason it is my favorite in the entire special is because it's the one that seems most like a regular song or like a real song.
Yeah.
I could see this being on Spotify or something like that, and I would listen to it on a loop. In fact, there's a YouTube video that has just the music, and I listened to that at least 3 or 4 times in the car yesterday.
It's kind of a comparison between hold on, my cat is being very cute, cradling my arm. It's kind of similar in a generational thing to the TikTok song that came out last year, the Fuck 2020.
Oh, yeah, low key Fuck 2020.
Yeah, it's like December 31st. It was like it's kind of one of those. It does. It's a good time capsule.
Yeah,
like to give us that representation. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to finishing it. And I think I am going to go down a rabbit hole of Bo Burnham from here and really catch up on what I missed, because it's like, I guess that kind of humor is also what's singing to me right now.
Yeah,
you know, like specifically, like in the very first song, he said one thing. I don't think it was the if the house is on fire, if the house is smoking. I think it was something before that, but it wasn't supposed to be a punchline, like part in the song. It was just something he said, and I went like it tickled me.
Oh, okay. All
right, keep this going.
Okay. I'm done. That's all. So naked people, old people, and Bo Burnham. That's all you get today, guys. I mean, when it comes to things that I've played or whatever, I haven't really played that much because family shit obviously going on. But then when I have played, I've played Cold War. They came out with a new Easter egg for the Outbreak mode, and I haven't been able to do it. But I haven't been able to do it because like I can't physically do it. It's because there's this bug during one of the objectives where it's like two missiles come down and then you're supposed to kill a bunch of zombies inside the circle. Well, it'll bug out in the middle of that and all the sound is gone. All of it. So I can't hear my gunshots, I can't hear zombies, I can't do it. And like, so I'm like, okay, let me go to the next map and see if it works. And then it didn't. And I'm like, God damn it. And I tried the next day because that happened once on stream. And I tried it the next day and the same fucking thing happened. So I'm like, okay, it's apparently a bug in the game itself. So, and I had a whole thing with like Knockout City where like I had it purchased and then it was telling me that I didn't. So I'm like, fuck you, Knockout City. Did you get a call
from your girlfriend? Yeah, I thought my mom was going to tell me. She was like, no, not my girlfriend, my wife. And she was going to be like, I thought she was going to say, like, have a conversation with me. And she was like, oh, hey, answer, like, check your text message. I was like, okay. And then she hung up.
Check well, your fucking text message. That's what I'm going to start doing to you now. What, Nick? Check your fucking messages, Claire.
Well, it's like my nanny had texted me with, like, an internet issue, so I got to fix that at some
point. Oh, old people and their internet problems. Putting it on to the next generation. But, hey, the next generation is too rude. One thing that's always annoyed me, sorry, we're going to go on a little rant here. One thing that's always annoyed me is, like, I've had, like, older people tell me that, like, my generation is not, is really rude. Mm-hmm. While being fucking rude. Like,
yeah.
Or, like, I can't remember one time I opened a door for somebody and they're like, I can get the fucking door myself. And I'm like, why the fuck do I try? Like,
yeah.
Granted, I do live in Idaho, and a lot of people who are from here, yeah, that's a commentary on people who are from not here. Anyways, but people who are actually from here, they'll tell you thank you. But, like, a California person won't even do it. They're like, they might not even register that you did something for them. They probably just assume it's an automatic door.
The same thing with like Texas too. Like, just in general, like the common thing when you pass by someone is, you know, you that like you acknowledge it, you know, like, hey, or you know, you just
like in a car.
Yeah. They could be walking on the street and you make eye contact and you're hey, or it's just passing by and you make eye contact. Like, you know, it's just kind of a normal thing. And it's like driving in Texas and driving in like the north is two completely different fucking things. Because like when we drove to Connecticut, was like, holy shit, wow, okay, completely different. And so yeah, I mean, every region's got different parts, but yeah, that's the thing. That's it's like, why it makes you go, why try? Because it's like, you want me to be nice. I was raised to be nice and to be gracious, and it's like, okay, fuck me. Like, that every time it happens to me, I'm like, all right, fuck me, right? You know?
Yeah, I mean, it happens. It doesn't happen a lot. The number one thing, and you're from Texas. I mean, you're from Southern Charm, right?
Southern Charm.
But one thing that will super annoy me is when I say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, and then they tell me don't call them sir or ma'am.
Yeah.
Like, okay, but yet my generation isn't polite enough. My generation is not cordial enough. It's like, bitch, I just tried to call you ma'am. Like, and some people will just get mad at me, like, oh, don't call me ma'am. And I'm like, I literally call everyone ma'am. I say yes, ma'am, to my wife, who is 3 years younger than I am. So it has nothing to do with age. It has to do with respect. So, all right, rant over, show over.